Father, it is a joy to just praise you, to worship you. It is a joy to begin to participate in the gift of worship, where we receive from you, we know the depth of your love, and it's so good. We want to celebrate again today. We want to ask today, Father, for the most incredible love of yours reaching out to the people of our nation, just touching their lives by your Holy Spirit, bringing about an awakening and an awareness of our spiritual condition and our need for salvation. And so we thank you as your Holy Spirit moves and as you work in our hearts to open our hearts to be able to receive. So we thank you for the healing of hearts, the barriers that we put to protect our hearts from taking people in by your Holy Spirit as you minister there, and as we just respond and say, yes, we need the healing. We need these barriers of protection removed so we can take them in. You are willing. You've shown your willingness in sending your Son Jesus. And we thank you that you were working in our hearts to be willing to receive the people that need salvation. And we celebrate this. So Father, this morning, share with us an amazing insight to the reality of your Son's atoning sacrifice, the power of his death, the power of his resurrection, that we may step into this and to be able to live a life of freedom. And this we want to ask, Father, today in and through your Son Jesus, that has purchased our freedom, that we may live in that truth for his, your glory and for your honor. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Good. This morning, is this on?
Yeah.
This morning, you won't believe it, we're actually moving to the third part of redemption, the true side. Okay. And we're going to be spending a bit of time just introducing it. And I think this one will be also a very significant part of understanding the power of the blood of Jesus, so that we may live a life of freedom and not be enslaved again. And so we're going to be taught how to continually live a life of staying free. And so it's an exciting part of the incredible package deal of atonement that we're going to be celebrating and living and growing deeper into it. We've looked at the first one we looked at was the agorazo, which was when you go into the marketplace to go and purchase something. And so Christ came into our world, and he purchased us because we were enslaved to sin. And so in the sin market, Jesus stepped into. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus said, Father, you did not desire the sacrifice of animals, but here I am. Send me. I've come to do your will. And so Jesus came at the depth of the Father's love, the depth of Christ's love, where he leaves his glory and he enters into our realm as a human being. The mystery, the miracle of being fully God and fully man, taking on. And that's why he's also called the Son of Man. And so we spend a lot of time looking at that over there. And so a lot of that was focused on the reality of Christ's death. And so we looked at that aspect. And then we looked at, as we've been over the last 2-3 Sundays, ex agorizo, which means now not only did Jesus come and pay the price, the wages of sin is death, and so he had to pay the price so that we can be set free from being enslaved by that sin slave master that we were just living our lives. And we spent quite a bit of time looking at that truth, that no matter if you're not born again, no matter what you're going to be doing, you're going to be satisfying and living according to the sin slave master within us. And you're going to be pleasing that, you're going to be justifying that, and everything that you will be doing, you'll be living a lifestyle based on what sin says. And you're going to say yes. Okay. And all of mankind is trapped, and there was no power to say no to sin. You just said yes to sin all the time, whether it was lying, whether it was cheating, whether it was gossiping, whether it was whatever it may be. Yes, okay, slaves to sin, and that's humanity. We were all like that, but Christ came, and He paid the price to break the power of sin, and then He has taken us out of that slave market, and that's what we've been looking at the last few Sundays. And we looked at, particularly in the context of this word is used in Galatians 3 and Galatians 4, about being under the reality of the curse of the law because of disobedience. And remember what took place there. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham simply believed and he was credited righteous. And so it was always God's way of dealing with man, was man was simply to believe. And there was a relationship. Man often found themselves not believing God, they were rebellious, and so then God says, now, to make you so aware of your rebelliousness, I'm giving you the written law. Okay, remember we saw there that all mankind, because they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so all mankind within us, we know what's right, we know what's wrong. Our consciences convict us, but over a period of time, we justify, our consciences become seared in a sense and dulled, so everything is right in our own eyes. And God says, okay, now it's time to give you the written law so that it will really just expose the reality of how sinful you really are. So through Moses, the law comes, the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments, again, it's the moral aspect of God. It's the moral law of God. So now man has the written law that now I know, whoopsie, if I disobey, I'm breaking the law. And that's why you have written laws all over, so that all of us know that we are breaking the law, okay? Because now we are aware of it. No one's without excuse. And so in Israel's disobedience, they get scattered all over. So the written law that's part of the religious worship of Israel is all over. Everybody knows the standard of Israel, because Israel was to be a witness to all nations. So no one's without excuse. We see that in Romans chapter 2. And then the time comes where, because mankind is so under the bondage of sin, because there's a curse is God's punishment with sin, and God says, I so love the world, I'm sending my son Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, and then he carries on. Now, for those who believe in him, there is no more condemnation. But those who reject Jesus, my wrath remains on them. Okay. And so the only way to get out of the curse, out of God's judgment over sin, is in Christ Jesus. So he became a curse for us. He's obedient. So he took that curse that was meant for us upon himself, and that's why he was put on the cross. Okay. So now in him, we have been taken out of the reality of God's wrath, out of the reality of curse, and now we have been placed in Christ. So in Ephesians 1, as we looked at verse 3, in Christ we have been blessed in every spiritual blessing that there can ever be in Christ Jesus. So now, with a new way of thinking, wow, God, this is what you've done with the power of your blood. I've redeemed from the curse. I'm now in your son and I'm blessed. I'm a blessed person and I receive. And so it's now beginning to renew the mind and starts to live out. But that we will look at as we go on how to stay free and how to become free, more free as we journey with God. So we looked at that, and today we're looking at what we will call the third aspect of redemption, and it's in the Greek it's called lutru, and that is to loosen and set free. So not only did Jesus come into our realm and pay the price and dealt with the power of sin, he took us out of that slave market. We're now in his kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of light. We're now in the family of God. That's where we are. And so now that he's taken us out, now we are in this incredible family, but he set us free from that sin. So now he wants to teach us how to live as a son, as a daughter of God, free. Okay, because sometimes we have still got a mindset of being a slave to sin. because we've lived many years as a slave. We are used to listening to sin and saying yes to sin. I bow my knee to you, sin. I'm going to worship you, sin. And I'm going to do whatever I can to make you happy, sin. And that was our lifestyle. That has been broken. Now the discipling process, the walk of the Holy Spirit, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, is to enable us to take what Christ has done as taking us out and loosened us and set us free, because the price has been fully paid. Now we can begin to live that kind of abundant life. Okay, and that's the journey that we are now going to just become aware of more, because as you hear what God's saying, you'll become very conscious of the Holy Spirit. Very, 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 very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And He will say, no, 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 Christ paid the price for that. You're free of that. Why are you still serving that? Come, let me help you. And that's how He's going to keep on all the time. So as we respond, that's what repentance is. The Holy Spirit gives you truth, and now you say, yes, Lord, I now begin to live my life according to the truth, knowing that the power of that sin has been broken. I'm no longer a slave to that. So I can now say no, because grace reigns. As God's power is reigning through the gift of righteousness that you and I have received in and through Jesus Christ. So the joy of the Christian life. When Jesus speaks about the abundant life, He didn't lie. When Jesus says, I come to set the captives free, He didn't lie. And so that's the reality of this part of the redemption. Okay. And one of the things that I have found to be so crucial is to be honest with yourself and honest with God. Pride says, I'm perfect. You see, pride says that everybody else has got a fault, not me. But you will see, and we will look at that from next week probably, you will see as you begin to behold Jesus and you see the nature, the image of God in His Son, and knowing that your image, the image of God, is being redeemed, you will, as you see Him, you will begin to realize, whoopsie. Thank you, Jesus, that you've set your image free inside of me, and I receive. And it says, I behold Him, I'm transformed into His glory, from glory to glory, into His image. Okay. And so that's going to play a big part for us to stay free. So we need to be honest. As the Holy Spirit shows things in our lives, we need to be honest. Remember, He's paid the price for our freedom. Let's not throw that away. Why would we want to discard the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus? Let's walk in that freedom, and it's a good life. How can you be a grumpy Christian? How can you be a Christian that is so full of moans and groans? It's only because they haven't experienced and they haven't received, they don't, maybe haven't got the truth about the freedom in Christ Jesus, that we're no longer in that slave market. We're out of it. And how to live as a child of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who works in us, that brings about this incredible transformation as children of God. In other words, Paul writes, and he calls it the law of the Spirit of life. Okay, that now operates within us. So we have a new operating system, no longer the power of sin, that slave master. We now have the Holy Spirit. And with yield to Him, we find the freedom. With the Spirit of God, as there is freedom. So one of the things about this word about Christ who has freed us, it's very, very important to realize that it's Christ who has freed us. We could not free ourselves. So something took place by the hand of Jesus that has set us free from being enslaved and has taken us out, and He has declared us free. Something took place. And one of the things, there's many things, but just in Colossians chapter 2, where Paul writes over there, and he speaks about a circumcision. Let me read from verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of their deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. This you'll start to see as we grow into the freedom. this will start becoming wow to all of us. You have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority, which includes the power of sin that was operating. Christ is the head. Okay. He has destroyed that and the whole demonic realm and all the authorities that operate. This is why the victory is so big. In him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And here we see the incredible work of the reality of how Christ has cut us loose, has set us free by his act, by what he has done. And the Bible uses it as circumcision. So we saw then Romans that there's the spiritual baptism in Christ by the Holy Spirit, but there's also the water baptism. And very often you will find in theology that when we speak about water baptism, it's again just illustrating and confirming that spiritual circumcision that's taken place. So people can, wow, I have been circumcised by the Holy Spirit. That old man is buried in that water. I'm dead to that old Adam that I used to be. I'm a new creation in Christ. As you come out of the water, circumcised, flesh is dead. See, and start to live that there. So that's why water baptism plays a big role in just establishing what has taken place when you get born again. So anybody that God is speaking to about baptism, share so that you can go through the waters of baptism. Okay, now I want to read from Galatians chapter 5. And there's a few scriptures today that we're going to just look at as an introduction for the next few weeks. And we're speaking about we've been loosened, we've been set free. What have we been loosed from? What have we been set free from? Okay. And who has done it for us? Now in Galatians 5, let me be clear. The anointed one, this is our Lord Jesus Christ, has set us free. Not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. See, remember we spoke last week, Jesus didn't come and negotiate with sin. He didn't say to sin in us, listen sin, you give me 50% shares of that person and you can have 50% shares. No. Jesus paid the full price, 100%. So there's no negotiation. So now in our own journey of acknowledging our freedom, we need to also come to an agreement and to say, sin, I'm not negotiating with you. Who I am has been purchased by the blood of Christ. I belong to him. I'm fully 100% belong to him. See, that's part now of what it is to be a true disciple of Jesus. Is to have that starting point to say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm totally yours. You've redeemed me. You've purchased me 100%. I'm yours. Here I am. And that's that yieldedness. That's when Paul writes about offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. Here I am, Father. I give my life to you. I belong to you. So from that starting point, now whatever we do, whatever we say, now we've got that starting point. No. I belong to you, Lord. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Whatever I do, whatever I say, I belong to you. What I do, I want you to be glorified. I belong to you. The power of sin is broken. I'm no longer a slave to that. I'm free. See, now I'm starting to get into an understanding and acceptance of what Christ has done when we speak about here, le true. Loosened, set free, paid the full price. No negotiations. I'm starting to renew my mind to what Christ has done. Okay. I'm starting to get into step with that. This is the walk of, Yvonne, you were speaking a bit lately about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist speaks very clearly there that let your lifestyle demonstrate the fruit of repentance. That's what we're talking about now. You've repented from that old way. You're no longer living that way. You've now turned your life to Jesus. There's a new and living way for us to walk in. Now my lifestyle demonstrates what I'm doing because sin has no longer authority. Okay. Obviously we're going to trip, we're going to fall, etc., etc. So the blood of Christ continuously cleanses us. We're all going to make the mistakes as we grow from one glory to the other glory, as we move more and more into the likeness of Jesus. Okay. But we have a starting point. We've got a mindset. We've got an agreement. There's a truth that we're standing on. This is the way we're going to go. I belong to Him. So, not partially, but completely. And most of the time, if you look at, as I said earlier on there, when you look at our nation and you say, can you see, or look at our town, can you see the kingdom of God over here? Most of the times, we don't see that because the body of Christ is not living fully for Jesus in a town. They're partially living for Jesus. So it's like worldly and then Sunday. Worldly and that Sunday, there's no authority, there's no heart to see captives set free. There's not eating the vision of Jesus and being involved in reconciling people's lives. Okay. And so that's why we see these things. Now we must carry on. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. I like the way the Passion just puts this. It's so clear. Okay. I, Paul, tell you, if you think there is benefit in circumcision and Jewish regulations, then you are acting as though Jesus, the Anointed One, is not enough. Today, there's a movement taking place where you, as a Christian, you've got to keep the Sabbath. You see, and so they're going around and they're saying, no, you've got to keep the Sabbath. It's exactly the same. You've got to keep circumcision. And so Paul is saying, if you have to keep the Sabbath, then you've got to keep the whole law. Christ is your Sabbath rest. You've entered into Him. So he's dealing with, because we get trapped up with all this kind of ideas that come up over there, that Jesus is not enough for your salvation. You've got to add on and do this and all do that. And this is what was taking place here amongst the believers here in Galatia. I tell you, you know, those who keep must keep the Sabbath. And you say, but now what about all the other laws? You've got to keep them 100% all the time. Otherwise, you're not righteous. And that means that you cannot, on that Sabbath day, you cannot go and do that. You've got to keep every single regulation regarding the Sabbath. Wow, what a burden. Hey, what a burden it is. But it's to get us to get back out of the grace that we have in Christ Jesus, the incredible life of the Spirit of God, and back into human effort to try and become holy and righteous. And the moment, guys, the moment one steps into taking on something like that, the power of sin will become very, very strong, and you'll find people will be yielding back to going back into that slave market, and that because now they're stepping out of what Christ has done in breaking that power of sin and having your life in Him. And that's why this is so important. And that's why He says you must cherish this truth that we have this freedom in Christ Jesus. It's a gift from God. And then He says, I say it again emphatically, if you let yourselves be circumcised, you are obligated to fulfill every single one of the commandments and regulations of the law. If you want to be made holy by fulfilling the obligations of the law, you have cut off more than your flesh. You have cut yourself off from the Anointed One and have fallen away from the revelation of grace. And that's when we become religious. And what happens there, that's a form of godliness, but denying the power of God that's operating and flowing out of our lives. Okay, then we carry on. But the Holy Spirit convinces us that we have received by faith the glorious righteousness of the Anointed One. That's the gift. Christ's righteousness belongs to you and I now. When you are placed into the Anointed One and joined to Him, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. Very simple. This sums up the new covenant. You simply believed, you have received Christ Jesus, what He has done. Then Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. And here we see, we simply believe, now because of the love of Christ, we can love others as Christ loved. Sums it all up. That's anything else we do flows out of that. Whether you're a lawyer, whether you're whatever it may be, flows from that over there. We've all got talents that we use in this world. And then we carry on, and he says, yeah, before you were led astray, you were so faithful to the Messiah. Why have you now turned away from what is right and true? Who has deceived you? And that's why Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, they're not going out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. Because Adam and Eve, before they fell, Eve was deceived. And so He prays for us to protect us so that we will not be deceived, because we see how easy it is for us to be deceived. The one who enfolded you into His grace is not behind this false teaching that you have now embraced. Not at all. Don't you know that when you allow even a little lie in your heart, it can permeate your entire belief system, and this will play a big part in staying free. You know my saying, every thought that is contrary to the truth, 2 seconds. Take it captive. Otherwise that leaven, and you will start living out that lie. That's not freedom. That's bondage. They actually say it at 60 seconds before it starts to be established. So, now there's so much to share on this side, but let's wait for that next time. Particularly in relationships, you're wanting to pray and set people free in relationships, in the workplace, wherever it may be. You have to understand this incredible truth here that Paul is writing. One little thought, and then, wow, we don't take it captive under the blood of Christ. You have a bad day. Yeah. So he'll be saying, have a bad moment, but don't have a bad day. You see, deal with it straight away. So you have a good day, otherwise you're going to have a bad day, you're going to have a bad week, you're going to have a bad month, some have had bad years. Because they've carried the stuff that they allowed for that one thought process, they've carried in, and it's just become a cancer within them. And so, but the good news, Christ has come to set us free from all that emotional stuff. He took it upon Himself. All our emotional diseases, our sicknesses, all that He took upon Him so that we can be free. Let's carry on. Deep in my heart, I have faith that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, who lives in you, will bring you back around to the truth. And I'm convinced that those who aggravate you, whoever they think they are, will be brought under God's judgment. Dear friends, why do you think the religious system persecutes me? It is because I preach the message of being circumcised and keeping all the laws of Judaism? No, not at all. Is there no longer any offense over the cross? I tell you the truth. I am so disgusted with all those that are on your case. I wish they would go even further and cut off the legalistic influences from your lives. In the literal, it's like, I wish they would go and castrate themselves rather, you know, kind of thing. He's pretty upset about these wolves in sheep clothing. And then he carries on and he says, beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. That's the key to stay free, in the Holy Spirit. Okay. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up base of operations in the natural realm. No, we've been taken out. We are in the kingdom of God. We are a child of God. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all we do. For love completes the laws of God. All of the laws can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. As you yield, this is the key, as you yield freely, see, God has given us the free will, so as we yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. The key to stay free. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder Him, this is important, and hinder Him from living free within you. That's the Holy Spirit we're speaking about. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. That's the conflict. So then the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you and your old self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. But when you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, important words, you will no longer be living under the dominion of the law, but soaring above it. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment with others are favored, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinion. I like that one. Eh? Who's in love with their own opinion? My spouses, you know. Yeah. Oh, no, it's like that. Eh? But we are free of that. The joy of being free of all this stuff. Eh? Being in love with your own opinion. Being envious of the blessing of others. Murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behaviors. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love, is all its various expressions, the joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of goodness, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities. That we will get into, because that's a very important statement. For they are meant to be limitless. Very important. See, this life of the Spirit is meant to be limitless. There's no law of sin that can hold it. There's no law of Satan that can hold it. Satan can copy gifts, but he cannot copy the presence of God. See? Satan can copy prophecy, tongues, healing, evangelism, you name it. He's excellent. But he cannot copy the presence of Jesus in your life and through your life. Okay, very important. And that's why this, what we're speaking about here, this life in the Spirit, it's limitless. It goes beyond all of that. So we're not going to be that stuff anymore. We've been set free. This freedom and limitlessness is a big deal for us as believers, because we keep on placing limits, because we're looking in the natural and we're looking at this world and we're saying impossible, we're saying impossible, we're saying it cannot happen. We've placed limits. No, 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 no. Life in the Spirit breaks free from those things. We start to live by faith. We start to see the impossible becoming a reality. But we will spend time on how it's going to come forth for us. And then we carry on quickly over here. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion. For everything connected with our old self life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Jesus. We must live in the Holy Spirit and follow Him, so we may never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. That's important, because sometimes we're trying to live in somebody else's footsteps. No, we are an original creation by God. Different calling, different purpose, different everybody. Freedom from trying to follow someone else's footsteps and to live in their shadows. Freedom that you can be who God has called you to be. Beautiful, eh? So, for the children this morning, you will grasp this one day when you'll begin to realize, whoa, I'm free to be who God has called me to be. And as parents, we have the incredible joy to be able to, Lord God, what have you created my children to be? Show me that I can pray and release that and prophesy into their lives. Freedom. Okay. How many y'all can experience that, you're living your parents' dreams? No. Okay. Freedom from all of that. You've been taken out of that. The image of God has been redeemed by the blood of Christ within us, and we can be who God has created us to be. And so we carry on. So we may never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must all forsake all jealousy and diminish the value of others. So, freedom in Christ Jesus. This is what He has done. This is the power of the blood. So when we have communion, you can begin to appropriate it. Lord, not only did you come and pay the price, not only have you taken me out of that, but you've taken me out. I'm no longer bound to that slave system. You've taken me out. I'm in your kingdom. You have freed me from all of that past. The old has gone. The new has come. In Christ Jesus, we are a new creation. Freedom. We're called to begin to understand this and to step into it and to live that. Not to have the arguments, why not to? Not to have the arguments blaming, I can't because so and so did that to me. That's not freedom. That's slavery. One of the things that we're going to learn that's so, so important, and we see it all the time, many, many Christians, because of unforgiveness, has got demonic spirits operating in and around them and upon their lives. Because of unforgiveness. Got to get the freedom to live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. Offense opens the door, gives Satan authority. That's not freedom. Jesus has paid the price for our freedom. Why do we want to make all kinds of excuses to hold on to this prison? No, guys. We've been set free. And let's, as Paul writes right in the beginning over here, we must always cherish this truth. That the anointed one has set us free, not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Now, time is gone, but let me just give you one or two more scriptures in John. Well, let me go in John chapter 8. We see over there when Jesus is speaking, maybe this translation might bring it easier. When Jesus is speaking about who are the true disciples, he goes on and he shares something pretty severe or beautiful. Let me just read from verse 31. Jesus said to those who believed in him, "When you continue to embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are my true followers." Because they're asking who are the disciples of Jesus. "For if you embrace the truth, you take it in and you live it, it will release you more free, it will release more freedom in your lives." So as a spirit of freedom, as he speaks to us and gives us the truth, like he's doing this morning, as we embrace this truth and we begin to meditate and spend the time and begin to live it, we experience a greater degree of the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. So it's from one glory to another glory of freedom. Okay? And then we carry on. Surprised by this, they said, but we're the descendants of Abraham. We already, we've never been in bondage to anyone. How could you say that we will be released into more freedom? Until you tasted freedom, we think we're free. That's the part of deception. I speak eternal truth, Jesus said. When you sin, you're not free. You become a slave in bondage to your sin. And slaves, notice this, have no standing in the family like a son does. For a son is part of the family forever. Powerful insights there. We've been taken out of slavery. Now we are a permanent part of the family of God. Sons and daughters. Freedom. So if, verse 36, so if the Son sets you free from sin, then you become a true son and be unquestionably free. Even though you are descendants of Abraham, you desire to kill me because the message I bring has not found a home in your hearts. Yet the truth I speak, I've seen and received in my Father's presence. But what you are doing, you've learned it from your father. And then they go into argument and Jesus says, your father is the devil because you're listening to him and you're living your life according to him. But who the Son has set free, he has set us free totally. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we have communion this morning, that's what you may want to just appropriate that, Lord, I want to thank you today. You did not negotiate with sin. You did not say 50% shareholding in this, in me. You have me all. I want to thank you, Lord, that you've broken that power of sin. You've taken me out. But the joy is that you've set me totally free. And I want to thank you that your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will continually share truth that I can receive and just grow into more freedom day after day, month after month, year after year. So today, hopefully you can say goodbye to bondage and yes to freedom. It's our choice. The blood has set our free wills free from being enslaved to sin. Now we can choose yes, Holy Spirit, or no. And God will honor that. Hey? That's how much he loves us. He honors our choice. So today you can say, unforgiveness, you've kept me in prison for too long. I say no, I choose to forgive. Freedom. Unforgiveness, you're in a prison cell. You are there with the tormentors in your life. If there's an offense, if there's whatever it may be, and communion could be the breakthrough day, say no to that. And yes to freedom in Christ. Receive what he's done. Amen. Ah, so our Lord Jesus, you're here with us and you've given all to us. You've paid the price. You've died for us. You've set us free. And today as we drink and we eat, partaking in your death and your resurrection, partaking in what you did on that incredible day, we receive from you, Lord Jesus, the truth of freedom. And we say yes to you. And I ask, Father, for grace being released now, Lord, as you spend time with each and every one of us to help us to be able to say yes to you and no to the old. And to be released and experience today the freedom, to experience the breakthrough. So thank you, Lord Jesus, that as we have communion, it's not just a ritual, but it's a genuine participation in what you have done. And we can experience it by faith, just by agreeing and receiving this freedom that we have in you. And I think it's going to be an incredible journey for us now, Lord, to take us into a dimension of freedom that we have not yet experienced, taking us out from being molded by the pattern of this world and having our mind molded by this world and having all that fear and all that unbelief into the mind of Christ, into your mind, Lord, and beginning to understand how your mind operates and the freedom of your mind. And I want to thank you for where you're going to be taking us to be able to really experience a new way of life, how to live in the reality of this world, but also in the reality of your kingdom because of you, Jesus. So we just declare, Lord Jesus, freedom reigns in this place because of who you are, and we say yes to you, Lord Jesus. We receive the freedom with the Spirit of God as there is freedom, and Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you here, bringing about the victory, the healing, the deliverance that each and every one of us need. And we celebrate freedom in you, Jesus, today. Father, we want to acknowledge your love in sending your Son so that we can be set free from the consequences of Adam and Eve and now come in your Son, the second Adam, and celebrate life. So I want to thank you, Father, for the joy that's there in your heart for all of us, and the joy in the heavenly realms and the joy amongst us. And we just thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.